We thank God for our music ministry today. Our music, amen, give them a hand. Today our music ministry groups will present their annual musicale under the baton of our minister of music, Brother Isaac Moshe. Stand up, Brother Moshe. He and guests, musicians and soloists and choristers have been working tirelessly to present this musicale for us today. Our children will be singing. Our voices of praise will be singing. Our handbell choir will perform. A men's chorus will be singing. The sanctuary choir. We have many guest artists who are going to be here. And I can tell that some of our members are not here today because they plan to be back at 4 o'clock. We hope so. At 4 o'clock today to support our music ministry. And so pray for them. They have been using their voices and their bodies over the past several weeks. And I know you're exhausted, right? Yeah. But you're ready, right? Yeah. So we're expecting a wonderful time in the Lord this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So please come back and support our music ministry. Also, let me personally thank the women of the National Council of Negro Women, Greater Austin Section, for joining us in worship today. Sister President Tiffany, will you stand again? This is Tiffany Smith, who is the president. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, and blessings to all of you seated in front of me and behind me for your work and your service to persons and to families. God bless you. I just also want to remind you again that this Wednesday we are having in-person Bible study here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. It will be a joint session with our youth and young adults ministry. And so please come out, Ebenezer. I know you've been accustomed to being on Zoom, but let's be in person this Wednesday and join in the discussion draw from our young people and let our young people draw from us so that we can minister to each other and minister to our community. So I know you want to be present this week. I want to read Psalm number 65. Happy to see you, Brother Ellison. Thank God for answered prayers. Psalm number 65. The New International Version. And the text says, praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. The word of our God. Thank you, ushers. Praise is due. If you own a home, if you rent an apartment, you know about due dates. Your mortgage payment is due each month, unless your house is paid off. Your rent payment is due each month. Each month, the utilities that you use must be paid for. We also have bills. We all have bills. We have credit card bills. We have medical bills. We have school bills. We have car notes. And most of these bills, like the mortgage and rent, are due each month. In most cases, our creditors will send us a monthly statement, which lets us know how much is due. And whether they send a paper statement or an electronic statement, creditors want to remind us that a payment is due. They never take a coffee break. They never take a cigarette break. They never take a vacation. Those statements they send also serve another purpose. They serve as a record of services rendered, because creditors want to go on record and let us know that the payment is due. The reason? If we don't pay what is due, the creditor might withhold services. We don't pay the electric bill, you'll get a red bill in the mail. You don't pay the bill, the electricity will be cut off. If we don't pay the rent, we might get an eviction notice. If we don't pay the mortgage, foreclosure proceedings might occur. And let me just drop this off parenthetically. Don't be coming in the church groveling and calling on God when you didn't pay your rent. You went to the casino and spent your rent money, and you want God to give you grace. That's cheap grace. That isn't on my paper. I just thought I'd drop it off parenthetically. If we don't pay the car note, the repo person might take the car. And so we learn the importance of paying what is due. We pay what is due because we want to continue to enjoy the services and conveniences that are provided. Even in informal relationships, we know that something is due when family or friends extend resources or do something for us. A simple acknowledgement is due. You don't want to send your child some money they begged you for, and then the child never sends a text, never calls, and never acknowledges that they got the money. You don't want that. I know I don't. We want others to show some indication that they appreciate what we've done. So we know that a thank you is due when others do things for us. And it doesn't take much to say thank you. You can't say thank you as old folks used to say much obliged. When it comes to what God provides, God doesn't send us a bill. God doesn't send us a reminder of what is due. God doesn't prompt us to render to God what God expects. But God does provide for us. And what does God do? What do we owe God for all God's provisions and benefits? And those are the questions the writer addresses in Psalm number 65. The writer says, in another translation, praise waiteth. Praise waiteth for God. It's as if praise is somehow in a holding room, waiting to be poured out to God. The writer lets the people know that praise is due. God is due our praise for God's blessings and benefits. Psalm 65 is a community thanksgiving. That's the type of psalm it is. In response to divine acts of providence, the writer recalls God's actions and tells the people that whether God sends a notice or not, praise is due for all the things God has done. And the writer details some of the blessings God provides. What has God provided? What has God done? God has provided divine grace. Because the text says in verses 2 and 3, you who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. God has provided divine grace. So the writer talks about prayer in this psalm. And clearly, the people have approached God in prayer. They pray because they are overwhelmed by their sin. And the writer uses the word for sin, transgression. Now that word refers to willful rebellion. It references that the people commit sin willfully. They commit sin intentionally. They know better. They know better. They know what God requires, but they refuse to do it. When you sin in that way, that's a transgression. That's willful rebellion. And the fact that the people are overwhelmed by their sin suggests that they can't help it. They cry out to God in prayer, and instead of punishment, God extends grace. God forgives even their willful rebellion. They say to God, we know we shouldn't be doing it. We know we shouldn't let this sin have control over us. But we can't help it. We just keep doing what we shouldn't be doing. Has anybody ever experienced that? Sometimes we want to stop, but can't stop. And so the people pray, and effectively they repent. They pray, they ask God for forgiveness, acknowledging their sin. And let me just drop this off. No, my paper, I'm giving it to you for free. Listen, when you pray and repent, tell the truth. Tell God exactly what's going on, because the reality is God already knows. You can't hide from God. You can put on your robe. You can put on your uniform. You can sit in the right pew, but God already knows our sin. So you might as well come clean when you talk to God. Isn't that right? God responds because the people acknowledge their forgiveness, and God responds with divine grace. The writer tells the people, praise is due God because of God's grace. When God looked at all the things we did, God could have cut us off. Instead, God extends grace. God does not have to forgive sins. God chooses to extend grace. I know you think you're so special, but God doesn't have to forgive you. God doesn't have to forgive me. In fact, the whole world can continue if we were not a part of the world. God could cut us off, but God instead extends grace. And the writer says praise is due because of God's grace. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau? And you remember how Jacob stole Esau, his brother's birthright. And of course, sure, the plot was hatched by Jacob's mother, Rebekah. But Jacob does what his mother tells him to do. So Jacob is just as complicit as Rebekah. So even if you didn't come up with the idea to sin, if you participate in the sin, you're just as guilty. He defrauds his brother out of his birthright. And they separate for years. And one day, Jacob is preparing to reunite with his brother Esau. You all remember that? And he approaches his brother when he sees him coming. He approaches him with trepidation. He brings lavish gifts to assuage Esau's anger. And he even, look at what kind of a man he is. He even takes his wife and children and puts them in front of the caravan so that if some trouble comes, the wife and the women, the children, will bear the brunt of it. I tell you, what kind of man is that? But to Jacob's surprise, Esau is not angry. Esau is filled with grace. He comes to Jacob, grabs him and embraces him and kisses him and extends grace. And that's what God does for us, beloved. Sometimes we think God is going to cut us off, and instead God gives us mercy. Sometimes we deserve punishment for our actions, but grace changes the outcome. We're here today because of grace. Praise is due God because God provides grace. It's grace that's got me standing up here today. It's not my education. It's not my experience. It's the grace of God that God provides so freely. And praise is due God because of divine grace. What does God provide? God provides deliverance. The text says in verses 5-7, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. What does God provide? He provides deliverance. Apparently, the people have not only prayed about their sin, they have also prayed that God would protect and deliver them. The writer calls God a savior. And that word savior means deliverer. God has given the people hope amidst their troubles and difficulties. The writer says, when the people pray, God answers with awesome deeds of deliverance. The people do not worry about the roaring of the seas and the roaring of the waves. They do not worry about the turmoil of the nations. They know that God is their protector and deliverer. They know that the God who formed the mountains is a God of strength. And so they call upon God's strength, and God comes through every time. Won't he do it? God comes through every time. Praise is due because God is a deliverer. God is the one who gets the people out of trouble. God is the one who protects the people from harm and invasion. What is so striking about God as a deliverer is, even though the people fail to obey God, God does not abandon them. And we see that to be true in our own lives. Even though we fall short, the sun still rises. And even though we don't live up to God's expectations, he just keeps on blessing us. Every day, new mercies we see because God is a deliverer. And what does God, the deliverer, deserve? God, our deliverer, deserves our praise. No doubt you remember the deliverance from Egypt. You remember that, don't you? Moses leads the people out of Egypt, but Pharaoh isn't having it. He commands his soldiers to mount their chariots and pursue the Israelites. And when the people get to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army is in hot pursuit, so they cry out to God. They look at the sea and they say, we're locked in. We're blocked in. The sea is in front of us and the chariots are behind us. But God tells Moses, look at what you have in your hand. You've got a rod in your hand. Take your rod and stretch it over the sea. Moses obeys and the waters divide on both sides, allowing the Israelites to cross on dry land. God is a deliverer. And when Pharaoh's chariots attempt to cross, the waters are released and Pharaoh's army drowns in the sea. I want you to know we serve a God who can hold back the waters. We serve a God who, when the enemy is on your trail, will show up and show out. We serve a God who is a deliverer. God makes a way out of no way. And because God is a deliverer, God deserves our praise. Praise is due because God provides grace. Praise is due because God is a deliverer. What does God provide? Ultimately, God provides everything that we need. The text says in verses 8 through 13, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. This psalm, as I said, is a community thanksgiving connected to the autumn festival. And so the people gather as a community to celebrate the harvest. Isn't that something? The people understand that their bounty comes from God. They know that their efforts alone are not sufficient. Everything the land provides, God provides. God provides the autumn rains, making plowing and sowing possible. God provides the watering of the soil to make vegetation grow. And so the people see God as this ecclesiastical farmer who from his perch in glory tends the earth and makes the earth produce. So when the pastures, when the hills, when the meadows and valleys give their crops, that is the provision of God. All the newborn animals that the people will use for sustenance are provisions of God. And so the people gather to praise God because God is a gracious provider. And listen to what he says. Even the created order rejoices and shouts about what God provides. I wish we had the wisdom of the created order. The text says the meadows are covered with flocks and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. I tell you, if the trees and meadows have enough sense to shout for joy and praise the Lord, what about the rest of us? Praise is due God for all that God provides. I know that some of us act as if we have what we have because of our own efforts. I know that some of us walked in here with an attitude as if nothing happened until we showed up. But I want you to know God is the provider. Without God, we would have nothing. Without God, we would be nothing. Without God, we could do nothing. Without God, we could achieve nothing. I was I was watching a documentary about the Amazon rainforest recently. And that forest has provided the plants that became most of the medicines we use. Scientists have extracted the chemical makeup of plants and developed medicines for cancer, heart disease, and other illnesses. And the Amazon's massive gifts have not fully been uncovered. All of those gifts are already in place, waiting for somebody to bump into a plant and then discover what that plant can do. That's a lesson about God's provisions. You see, when human beings came to the planet, everything was already here. And before God made a human being, God made everything else. The vegetation was here. The animals were here. The oceans and the rivers were already here. The birds of the air and the fish in the sea were already here. Who provided all that? God provided all that. The air that we breathe is a gift from God. You can't pass a test without breath in your body. You can't work on a job without breath in your body. You can't drive a car without breath in your body. It all begins with what God has provided. Praise is due because God is a provider. I'm almost done. I said earlier, when it comes to what God provides, God doesn't send us a bill. God doesn't send us a reminder of what is due. God doesn't prompt us to render to God what God expects. But God does provide for us. And what does God do? What do we owe God for all God's provisions and benefits? Praise is due. And although God doesn't ask for payments, although God doesn't send us a bill, we must remember that God does deserve something from us. When a person does something special for you, you often say to the person, I'm in your debt. Well, I came by to tell you today, we're indebted to God. We gather sometimes for worship on Sunday, and we wait for somebody to encourage us to praise God. We wait for somebody to say, wave your hand and praise the Lord. We sit quietly waiting for the music to pump us up. We wait for the preacher to have an inspiring sermon to make us get off our pews. But I want you to know we do not worship the music. We are not worshiping the preacher. We are worshiping God. We are indebted to God. We are indebted to God's grace. We are indebted to God's deliverance. We are indebted to God's provisions. We all owe God. We owe God our praise. God woke us up this morning. God keeps food on the table. God is a rock in a weary land. God is a shelter in the time of storm. It's time to praise the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If anybody ought to say something, it ought to be somebody that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 148 says, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, stars of light. Praise him, heaven of heavens. Praise him, waters above the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deep. Fire and hail and snow and vapors. Praise the name of the Lord. And 150 says, praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The psalmist said, praise waiteth for thee, O God. Well, why is praise waiting on God? It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to thank the Lord. If God has been good to you, if God has blessed you, if God has answered your prayers, you ought to thank him. You ought to praise him. You ought to worship him. You ought to glorify him. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise his name. I came to shout for joy. I came to kneel in prayer. I'm through. That's what we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to gather and praise the Lord with our voices, with our instruments, because he's worthy of all praise, all honor, and all glory. I'm through. But let me just say this one final thing. When God blesses me by his grace to walk into the New Jerusalem, I'm not going to look for my mother or my grandmother or my auntie. I'm going to look for Jesus. Fall down at his feet and praise his name. Praise is due, beloved. Praise is due. We want to extend the invitation as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come and invite you to receive this God by faith. You can go online at belonging@ebc3austin.org. If you're in the sanctuary, you can walk down this aisle and give your life to Jesus. I want you to know there's no better choice than the choice to choose the God who extends grace, deliverance, and everything we need. The invitation is extended. We offer Christ. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister. Oh, my sister. Oh, he. One more time. We offer Christ to you. Change and get back here to join in this annual musicale with our music ministry. God bless you. Thank you. us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this day you tell us about all your mighty deeds and all that you provide. And the writer says, praise is due. Praise is due because you provide grace. Praise is due because you provide deliverance. And praise is due because you provide everything we need. Help us, O God, to not be waiting in a holding room, holding our praise, but to offer you every praise and blessing for all that you are and all that you provide. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.